The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
This is Dana Mitchell from Ghost of Shepherdstown. When visiting Shepherdstown, be sure to look up my Shepherdstown Mysteries Walk, where a story can be told, but a mystery must be experienced. I've got Dave and Mike on my VIP list, so you can join too.
Good evening, Para X. It is 6 o'clock. Well, not on the dot, but I did get on early. I think we stole like 10 seconds from the encore. So I'm actually pretty proud of myself for that one. So you are listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you tonight, Dave?
Wonderful. Absolutely great. Looking forward to the snow. Just got done with a very fun weekend.
Yes, it was your birthday.
It was. Second most important day of the year. The birth of Jesus Christ and my birthday.
I don't want to get any religious talk here, but you don't even know when Jesus Christ's birthday is. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
You know, just saying.
Maybe I'll go third. All right. So the birth of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and then my birthday. All right. So I don't want to offend anybody.
Wow.
We'll put your birthday fourth. How about that?
My birthday fourth?
Fourth, yeah. Only because I'm older than you, so.
Fourth in your mind, it's number one in mine.
Well, right.
So
I assume that.
Right. So to me, it's my birthday, which is coming up here
it is.
December 31st. So
it is.
Yep. Still time. Still time to send out some presents here.
Yep. And I take belated gifts also, by the way. Cash, treasury, bonds. I mean, you know, whatever.
Well, I hate to bring this up, Dave, but you owe me money. So.
Well, that's why I'm trying to get cash.
Yes, so everybody send cash to Dave.
Yeah. Send cash to me so I can square up with Mike.
Yes, I would appreciate that. That would be awesome. Yeah. So, tonight, we had a bunch of stuff happen, our plans anyway. We waited until last night to make sure if we had a guest or not, and then that got moved to January. So yes. Then we were stuck with trying to figure out what we can do. So we figured that we would bring back, like last week, we would bring back a segment that we like, where we answer questions given to us by like listeners or people who follow our paranormal pages. And then they didn't give us any questions. So that kind of went out as well. So what we decided to do is sticking with that type of show is we both wrote down without telling the other person, questions that we get asked by like people when we do presentations and clients, and just kind of frequently asked questions that I would say, at least the ones that I wrote down, I think every investigator gets asked these always. Yeah. So if these are questions that maybe you have ever had when it comes to a paranormal thing, you know, sit back and let us answer these for you. So hopefully you'll never have to ask another investigator again. So is there anything that you want to say before we begin, Dave?
No, I think this is going to be a really good education show though, because, you know, but a lot of time, I get asked a lot of like odd questions. So I'm kind of interested, you know, like you said, we didn't tell each other what we had. So I'm kind of, I'm interested to see what you wrote down as what you get asked a lot. And then I took kind of like not necessarily the most frequent things that I get asked, but kind of the things that stuck in my mind.
Okay, so this will actually be a really good trade-off, compromise, because my questions are ones I always get asked. I think everybody gets asked. And then they'll be intertwine really well with your thoughtful questions, I guess you could say. So I will start with my first one. And I don't know why. I guess I do, but I don't understand why it gets asked the most. It's very, very simple, and very, very cliche. But what is the scariest place you have ever investigated?
Oh yeah, that's cliche.
Always get asked that question.
Yeah, I do too.
And we'll see if your answer is the same as mine.
Okay.
And it. The way that I answer this question is pretty much, I don't get scared anywhere. I don't think I ever have. I remember the very, very first time that you and Moondance took me out.
Yeah.
I will admit that I was very anxious and cautious and hesitant to do anything, because I'm in a cemetery with strangers on a Saturday night. And don't know what I'm doing and don't want to do anything to be disrespectful.
And it's a new moon and it's pitch black.
I mean,
shut the flashlight off.
and now every time, seriously, like that got ingrained in my head, I think, from that night. Because even now when I'm watching footage, just this past time, I'm watching Matt and Tevin in Tevin's room. This last investigation, and I'm sitting there watching with the flashlight on, and I'm like, Matt, turn the flashlight off. Turn the flashlight off.
Yeah. He had that thing on like he was trying to do a hand puppet show on the wall or something.
Yeah. There's definitely a creep factor in certain places where you walk in, you're just like, well, this isn't creepy at all. But I really can't say I've ever been scared at any location that I have ever been in.
No, I would second that. You know, I've been anxious in some of the places I've gone into. I've been a little apprehensive at times. This was years ago for me. Like now, I'm not worried about going anywhere. So, all right. It just popped into my head. I take that back.
The exception.
I got one exception. I got one location that I'm not going to, because I just feel that anything. I just don't feel that anything good would come out of me going there. I think it would only be. I think it would just be. It would just be bad. I think either I'm going to get hurt, or I'm going to get an attachment, or something bad's going to happen. There's nothing that I could do to help anybody there. You know what I mean? So the place that I would never go to, and I'm not afraid to go, I'm just smart enough not to go, would be Bobby Mackey's.
Yep. I knew that was coming.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I'll go there and stand in front of the building and take a picture, but I'm not going walking around investigating, trying to get something to respond to me, because the stories that come out of there and the photos and the videos and stuff like that, you know, people get seriously injured at that location.
Yes, they do.
They go in there and they act like idiots. And I think that the negative entities that are in that building, for some reason, they just feast on those people who walk in there with that attitude of, yeah, well, what are you going to do to me? Come scratch my neck.
I actually saw an interview with one of the tour guides there. And she has said on many, many occasions they get those alpha investigators who think they're unstoppable and whatnot. And they say within an hour they're coming out crying.
Yeah,
I agree. I think the entities there, whether the demonic or otherwise, I think they absolutely love it when those people come in, because they can go nuts. So I'm with you on that. I don't think I would not go there. I would probably investigate it, but that's only because I have trained myself not to be a douche. And I think that they would probably leave me alone as much as I would leave them alone.
Yeah. Well, you hope so.
I would hope. Yes, I would hope so. So, I mean, they might try to mess with me. Maybe they'll scratch me or something like that. And I'd probably be like, come on, guys. You don't need to do that. Can't we all just get along?
Exactly. So, there be love and peace in Bobby Mackey's The Gateway to Hell, according to Zach?
That would probably get me scratched even more. But
that probably would. Yeah, you say Zach's name, you're probably going to be demonically possessed.
Yeah. So, scariest place I've ever investigated, nowhere. is the simple layman's terms, just nowhere. So you're up.
All right. So I get asked this on a fairly regular basis. So for people who have animals in their house, I get this question: can my animals see things that are in my house that I cannot see? And are those things ghosts? And is my house haunted? So it's kind of like a multi-tiered question, but the basic gist of it is can, like my dog sits there and stares at the corner, or my cat like will be walking through the kitchen and all of a sudden stop and take off hauling for the back door for no reason, so can my animals see things that are in my house that I cannot see? My answer to that is yes. Animals are more sensitive to things that are in your house than we are. Than human beings are. As children, maybe not, because children are substantially more receptive to the presence of different things around them, whereas adults, we've already moved past that point, regretfully. So we're not attuned to looking for those things. But yeah, I totally think that they can. Does it mean that your house is haunted and that there's ghosts in your house? No, absolutely not. There could be many, many logical reasons why your animals are responding like that. But it is a good question. And I would imagine if you're a little apprehensive or a little scared and all of a sudden your dog keeps stopping halfway up the staircase going to your bed every night, to lay down in your bedroom with you every night, and it stands there and freezes halfway up the staircase and stares at nothing and then starts growling or whimpering. I mean, that would, for the common person, that would be scary. Like, what the heck does the dog see that I don't see?
I agree. And that I think is on a case by case basis, obviously. I actually had somebody contact me recently. One of his, really nothing was happening, but his dog was all of a sudden just sitting at the start of the hallway, staring at the front door. For no reason. And he would do this like almost every night. But is that, and it was starting to freak him out, I guess. And he wanted to know if there was maybe something in his house. But my question to him was, because he lived in an apartment complex, was, well, did you get new neighbors? Do they maybe have a bass system that this dog can hear the rumbling of the bass, and he's staring out the front door because that's where he's hearing all of a sudden this new sound. Right. I mean, there can always be natural factors which make these animals, who have much better senses than we do, to do that stuff. Maybe you painted the corner recently, and he's smelling why that corner smells differently than the rest of the house.
Right.
There's tons of stuff to look at. But I agree with you, Dave. I do think that they definitely have the ability to see and hear and sense, especially sense, energy that probably is not normal there. Yep. Kids as well, but kids are more sight. Like, they can see and hear more than we can.
Right.
Why that exactly is, I have no idea, but.
Well, I can tell you why.
Sure. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay.
This isn't one of my questions, by the way.
The basic theory, and I subscribe to this too, is that, as a young child, you're still in that learning, phase of your life. Like, so you're just basically a huge sponge. So everything that's happening around you, you're learning. and you haven't been told what is true, not true, correct, not correct, real, not real. Most of those things, that's not in your learning phase when you're younger. You're told yes and no for safety reasons, like don't touch the stove, it's hot. You know, don't run out in the street because you're going to get hit by a car. But that's like that's the learning part of being a child. They haven't been shut down by what society teaches us. And I always thought it would be great if you somehow could reverse that as an adult and be as receptive as you were when you were like 3 years old and be able to I think that would be incredible. And I wonder, and this is just my speculation, I wonder if some of like the really good psychic mediums that really are legitimately good at what they do and they have abilities that are substantiated and proven, I wonder if they have the ability to do that, to like go back to that innocence of a childhood type of thing and get away from all of the belief system that has been piled on them for so many years that has caused them to stop believing in these things. Even if they say they believe, they really don't. And I think that's what it is. So
I have two things that I want to, I want to ask and add to that. So the first one is like, I understand what you're saying about being a sponge, about, learning and everything, but they have the same eyes and the same ears and whatnot that they do their entire life and the same that we do. How is it just because they're younger, their eyes and ears are able to pick up being not as developed as ours than we can? Is it just like their ability to accept it?
Yes. You I think would
that,
say so.
That yes. it's like that.
Right. Okay. It's part of the thing where they don't know what's not real. Okay. So like a three-year-old child does not know what's not real. They watch Barney on TV, let's say, for example. They don't know that Barney's a giant puppet. They think Barney's real. And we're going to go to Florida and go to Universal Studios and see Barney live. They think that's a real live dinosaur. You know what I mean? So keeping that mentality, if they see something or a child shows up, as the case that cases that we've worked on together, obviously, you know, where children are seeing other children. I think that it's part of that.
Okay. Second thing is, so you brought up the whole, you know, when parents raise children and they want to teach them, don't touch the stove because it's hot. You know, yeah. don't take candy from strangers.
Right.
With your daughters, did you add in, if anybody comes into your room and you're trying to sleep, that's not mommy and daddy, don't talk to them?
Yes.
Did you
yes,
really?
I did. Yes, I did. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. That's all I wanted.
You're not allowed to have any conversation with anybody that wasn't approved to be in the house. And if anybody happens to show up and wants to start talking to you, you have to come get me. And then we will sit down and talk with them together.
Did they ever come and get you?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, a couple times.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a cat. We had a cat that was like their favorite cat. His name was Shadow, and he got hit by a car. Oh. And it happened quick. It caught him like in the head, so he died pretty much instantaneously. You know, so I saw him. I used to see him because he used to come sit downstairs with me in my office downstairs, and I would see him out of the corner of my eye walking. And the girls saw him for probably about a month after he died, after he got hit. They'd see him walk up the stairs, going up, you know, my old house. They'd go upstairs to the bedrooms and stuff, and then the girls, if like Maddie and Zoe were laying in bed, they would see him come in the room and stop and kind of look at them, and they would actually see him there. So, I mean, were we all having some sort of hypnosis because we missed him so much? I don't know. You know, who knows what the human brain does? But, I mean, we saw him for about a month or so after he got hit.
Could it have been residual?
Well, I don't think it was well, possibly. I don't know. I mean, I think that I think two things. Number one, I think that because he died so quickly that he probably didn't know what happened. And so he was kind of coming back to the house kind of like, hey, what's going on, guys? You know, how come nobody's petting me? How come I don't get to curl up on your lap? And then I think the other thing is maybe he did kind of realize something was different, and maybe he was just coming by to say goodbye. Because he got a lot of love at the house. I mean, he was a good cat. So,
there's no you know,
and everybody
thing.
Really liked him.
He fooled you all, Dave.
Yeah, he did. So,
All right. Question number two for me.
Yep.
This one is more of an annoying question because I hate the topic and I hate answering it, but I always get asked because so many people are very, very excited about orbs.
Ooh, orbs. And
so the question I always get is, how can you tell the difference between dust and orbs? And I would probably say that the almost 98, if not 99% of everything that has caught on camera is dust.
Yes.
The best way that for anybody to tell whether it's dust or an orb is one, how it looks. Obviously, if it's fully transparent, you know, there's no real light to it. That's not illuminated by an IR. It's dust. Does it follow the same path? I mean, don't pay too much attention to the speed, because some of it goes, you know, like 1,000 miles an hour across the room.
Right.
But it stays in the same line. It just hits the wall and disappears. It doesn't do anything remarkable. Like, there's no intelligence behind it.
Right.
That is the big one. And I think the one thing that a lot of people, when doing that, when taking that specific point, they don't take into effect, you know, if it hits a doorway, you know, wind or the breeze or whatever, the airflow is going to be different. So all of a sudden it's going to change direction because, you know, it weighs, you know, 0.0001 ounce.
Right.
So, I mean, we had an orb I just showed a client yesterday. And the only reason why I showed it to him is because, especially when it was on the DVR camera, which picks up all dust, it changed directions multiple times, but it took 32 seconds to get to move like 15 feet. I mean, that's really, really slow. And especially when it's changing direction. And then it ended up just not running into the wall, not running into the floor or the ceiling. Like, it turned and went out the entryway to the room. I mean, it was a really, really wonderful piece. But again, orb. I don't know why, and I'm going to growl when I say this, I don't know why Ghost Adventures get so upset, or not upset, so excited. Like, they have to point out every single light anomaly that they see.
Yeah.
It's an orb. If it is an orb, all an orb is energy.
Right.
It might not even be a spirit. It could be, but, you know, the chances of that, I don't want to say slim to none, but slim to none. that is an actual orb, especially if it's being illuminated by the IR light.
Or by your camera flash.
Or by your, oh God, definitely by the camera flash. Cameras
question. That was my fourth question.
You had a backup? Oh, okay. Well, then
pictures in my house and I see tons of orbs. Is there really that many ghosts here?
No. Dust. It's and the other thing about dust is it can take, a lot of people will send photos of, well, I have there's an orb here it's red. Well, the couch that's right next to it is red. It's just reflecting the color of the furniture, you know, that's around it. It's right. Transparent. So I really hate orbs, but shockingly for 99 or 98% of all photos and video of dust, it being dust, I'd probably say like 60 to 70% of my video evidence is an orb, which makes me mad, but it is what it is. 'Cause they are out there. They do exist. And it's something that's not normally found. I guess it is normally found because even the Earth releases orbs.
Right.
So anything to add?
Yeah, I will. Just two things. So number one, if you think that you see an orb, okay, what you're looking for what you're really looking for, if you really are curious about orbs, okay, what you'd be looking for is not a round ball. You'd be looking for something that has kind of an oscillating hourglass look to it. So, you know, we kind of refer to it as kind of like ectoplasmic looking when we catch them, and we've caught them, and I think there's some on the website that are on there that's a prime example of what those look like. That is unexplainable. So that would be part of your 1%. You know, it's some sort of energy. It appears to travel into or out of one of us during an investigation. I can't dismiss that something. It's something. Okay. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something. The second thing is, if you happen to see something like a white ball of energy or a black ball of energy, because they come in more than one color, and you're not using a camera or an IR system, and let's say you're watching TV in your house and all the lights are off and you're in the living room and you glance over your shoulder because something catches your eye and there's a white ball of light floating through your kitchen, that's probably an orb.
Okay, I will grant you that. That will be an orb.
Right, right. Now, that doesn't mean it's bad, and that doesn't mean like your house is haunted. That just means that there is, for some reason, there's an abnormal energy in your residence. Right?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that it's, you know, it doesn't mean like, oh my God, run and call, you know, Mike and Dave. Although you can. We'll come over.
as long as it's close.
as long as you're not like in Canada or something.
Yeah. If you live like 75 miles away and your only claim is that you caught a photo of a possible orb, yeah. I will try to recommend you a closer team.
Yes, we will.
Perfect.
Yes.
Next.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay, so this one, you're going to love this one. is it dangerous to play with a Ouija board?
Oh, my God. Ah, bleh.
I can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question, especially since I always am a vocal proponent of staying the hell away from Ouija boards. So I do get asked this quite a bit, and I don't know if I get asked it because I talk about them a lot, but yes, it is. Yes. It is very dangerous to play with a Ouija board.
Well, okay, wait, hold on. I think we should be more specific when we say that. Because, I mean, a lot of people will come back and be like, well, it's just a piece of cardboard. Well, that's true. So, is it dangerous for a bunch of, you know, 10-year-old girls to sit around laughing and they're asking, you know, does little Johnny like Susie? No, it's not dangerous at all. If you are using it for the specific purpose and the intent to talk to the dead, yes. Yes, it is.
Or to ask for favors from the dead.
Oh, that's even worse.
You know, or to try and use it to conjure up something dark to harm somebody else.
Well, that's just stupid. But well, people do it. I know it people do it.
I know.
So yes.
I'm just saying that. I mean, these are purposes that the board is used for.
Yes.
You know,
shockingly so.
You know, so is it dangerous? Yes, it is dangerous. You know, I mean, I guess you could argue it, you know, well, you know, like you said, and I've had people argue this with me, you know, well, it's just a board game. It's sold by Milton Bradley. How can it be bad? Well, you know, chalk isn't necessarily bad either. But if you take a piece of chalk and you go draw a bunch of demonic symbols on the floor, and then a candle's not necessarily a bad thing, but you light the candles and you start walking around chanting stuff while you're dripping goat blood in the circle, you know.
That's very specific, Dave. That's a very specific example.
Hey, I'm just saying, those things aren't necessarily dangerous by themselves, but when used in the wrong way, they can be. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So Ouija boards, my thing to everybody, and I've used them before. I grew up using one with my grandma. I know what they can do. I've seen what they can do. I've seen amazing things happen with them. But my advice to everybody is don't play with it. It's a entryway to either a different realm or a portal or something. It's not a gateway to hell. I'm not going to say that. So don't freak out thinking like everything's a demon that comes out of it. But it's a key that will open up something somewhere else. And the scary thing is you don't know what that other area that you're going to is.
Exactly. But I also think that it's important to keep in mind that what makes these boards dangerous, and it's not just the actual Milton Bradley Ouija board. You could take, like Dave said earlier, sure. You can take chalk and go to your driveway and draw a Ouija board on it, and it's still going to do the exact same thing. Because you are focusing your intent on that specific, that specific intention, I guess, of communicating. You are giving a spirit or an energy or an entity the outlet in which to communicate. But there's also rules. I mean, there are rules to a Ouija board. Yep. If you follow them, even if you are trying to contact spirits, you can come away just fine. But so many people don't know these rules. They don't follow them. That is when something bad happens. And a lot of people, and I've brought this up, and I think and Kat in the chat room just did too, they bring up, well, how about an EVP session? You're asking for a spirit to communicate with you. How is that any different than a Ouija board? Asking the deceased to turn your light on or make your K2 go off. How is that any different than a Ouija board? And to be honest, in a normal sense, there isn't much, but what the differences are is we close the session. We're not particularly focusing on it. We're just kind of setting it aside and being like, hey, can you do this? And that's it.
The big difference. So here's the big difference there.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people don't get this, is that when we're in an investigation and we ask for an entity to say, you know, can you turn the flashlight on? We're going to use this as a yes and no, kind of a question thing. Or can you walk over and touch the antenna on the REM pod, and we'll use that as a yes and no type of question and answer session. We are not putting our energy or intent into that. We're asking a question as to whether something can do something with that piece of equipment. I'm not putting any of my energy into that flashlight to help that entity use that flashlight. But if I'm using a Ouija board, I am 100% putting my energy and intent into that board to cause – it's a cause and effect relationship. I'm putting everything I have in there, all I can give it, so that in the hopes that all of this that I give has an effect that comes back to answer what I'm looking for.
Right. I mean,
that's a huge difference between using a piece of equipment and using a Ouija board.
I agree. I mean, if I were to go out to Target right now, buy a Ouija board, bring it here, put it in the next room, and come back into my office here, and then, you know, yell down the hallway, hey, can you do something with that? Nothing's going to happen because I'm not doing anything with it. I'm not putting anything into it. I'm just setting it aside and being like, hey, can you do that?
Right.
So I do agree that that is a huge difference. And again, during an investigation, when we do it, we do set up rules. We do set up the boundaries. We close the session because we know that that is what we are supposed to do.
Yep.
A lot of people that use Ouija boards that bring in all of this negative stuff don't know how to do that and don't do it. And that's what leaves the doors open.
Yep. And that's why you see it during investigations, investigators get hurt because they don't establish any parameters. They just go in there just free-willing and openly, and whatever happens, happens, and they don't establish a set of ground rules. They don't close the session at the end of the day. They don't do the final speech like we do every time when we close the session after the final, you know, after we say our final things, we all do our own individual thing. They don't do that. And then they wonder why they've got stuff following them home.
Yes, indeed. All right. So we're right on time. A little late for commercials, but that's okay. Because good discussion. we're gonna take our break now, play a couple commercials, yay, for everybody. And we will be back. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Heidi. What are you listening to? Heidi. Heidi. Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling. The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling Radio Show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para X Radio Network for the Para Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
That we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we're back. It is 6:36 Central Time. You're listening to the Odyssey Files of Para X, and Dave and I are kind of doing a frequently asked questions, since nobody wanted to give us more direct ones. All I have to say
to that is, what can you ask somebody who has all the answers? Right? They already knew that we knew all the answers to all the questions, so they were like, "Well, we're not going to be able to stump them." Well, so
I didn't ask for questions to stump us.
Oh, you're ruining it. You're ruining it. Be quiet, Mike. Move on to your next question.
Sorry. this one is, I chose this one specifically because of maybe the information around it, but I always get asked, and I think I know a lot of investigators get asked, do you charge for investigations? And obviously the answer is no. Simple answer, no. We never do, and we shouldn't. The reason why I chose this question is because I think it's very, very important that people understand that chances are, if somebody's going to charge you for this field to get help, they probably don't have your best interest at heart. They're probably not going to do as good of a job as they should. I personally do not like anybody that does. And I know people who do. Are you in agreement on that one or no?
I've never have specifically ever, in all the years that I've been doing this, actually charged somebody. I do tell a lot of my clients up front that if you feel that I answered your questions, took care of your fears, alleviated your concerns, donations are gladly accepted. Sure. I mean, equipment's expensive. It takes gas to get there. I'm not looking to be compensated for my time, but it's hard when you don't make a lot of money for a living, and then you're trying your best to get out and drive to these locations, and they always seem to be 4 to 6 to 7, 8 hours away. It's never like your neighbor down the street where you can just walk over and be like, "Hey, okay, hi, I'm here." It's always like a long distance thing. So, I mean, you're dropping hundreds of dollars a weekend. And so, I think that if you provide, your client with a sense of being like a sense of completeness, like, "Hey, I'm really glad you guys came, because I've slept great now. Ever since you left, I've been able to sleep great again." I think that I don't see any problem with, somebody willing, ponying up a little bit of money to go to the equipment fund or the gas fund or whatever.
Right. No, I don't have.
But I have never charged anybody. I've never said, hey, if you want me to come over, it's going to cost you, X amount of dollars.
Right. I'm with you. Like, I have never. People typically don't donate, but I have never asked for money. In fact, they would even say, like, hey, I'll give you this amount of money if you come over and do it. Like, they won't even ask if we charge. They'd be like, well, I'll give you this amount.
Right.
I'd be like, you really don't have to do that. And like, I'm here to help. But if you want to, great. But it's not required for us to do our service. The only exception to this, and I want people to understand that this does happen. It hasn't happened yet to me, but I know it does happen. If we're called in to an investigation where, let's say, mom and the daughters used the Ouija board, and now there's crap in the house, and it's because of them using the Ouija board, and we do our investigation, we come up with a solution, and we get rid of the problem, and everything is fine. And then, like, 2 months later, they call us up because they used the Ouija board again, and now it's back. I'm going to charge you. Because yeah. If it's an investigation based on stupidity, I think they should be charged. Especially if we were there the first time, got rid of it, told them, do not do this again. And then they go and do it. They should pay.
I think stupidity is a harsh word, but yes, I agree with you.
Sorry. It's just,
I know what you mean. It's frustrating. It's a frustration thing from our end. Definitely. Because, you got, and what people need to understand and really understand too, is that if some of the okay, so let me backtrack just 1 second. Probably, I mean, for us legitimately, probably 80%, maybe 90%. I don't think it's 90, but maybe on the top end, 90% of the cases that we deal with. Yes, there's stuff there. Yes, we catch great evidence. Yes, we prove to the client that they're not crazy and that there's things are around, but the things that are there are not harmful. They're not negative.
Right.
But there is that 10% where we are putting ourselves in harm's way. And it's not like you're walking into a store and there's a holdup and all of a sudden the guy tells you to, get on the ground and throw your wallet towards him or whatever. And while that is a dangerous situation, that situation comes and goes, and then it's done and it's over with and everything else. The kind of danger that we get ourselves involved in a case that has a lot of darkness to it is attachments.
Being scratched.
Physical abuse, mental abuse. I know many people that have their personalities have changed, they were really level-headed and polite and nice and caring and looking out for you, and they get into a case that took a bad turn and they weren't ready for it and they got caught in the blender and they came out the other end not the same person. And that is a legitimate thing. It happens. And if you don't think it happens, well, God bless you. I hope it never happens to your house, because if I know you feel that way and that shit happens at your house, I'm not coming over to help you. So I'm just saying. But, it does happen. And it's a legitimate concern. I mean, it's always in the back of our minds, and Mike knows it. We don't think about it all the time, but it's always there. It's in the back of your head.
Yep.
I need to be careful. I need to, we always need to be careful. We always need to do things the right way. We always need to be cautious on our questioning and, using provocation when needed, but not provocation like probably what everybody thinks provocation is. I mean, everybody, when you say provocation, everybody thinks we're running around swearing and cussing and telling them that they're worthless. And that's not what I mean. There's many, many ways of being like questioning and then just getting it to be a little bit more personal questioning, and that kind of becomes a little bit more aggressive, which at the same time becomes a little more provocational. Right. But
you're taking the scenic route of of the question.
Well, but, yeah. All right.
So
I'm expounding on it.
Right. No, I completely understand. in layman's terms, there is a lot of danger to what we do, and we're trying the best that to do it without charging, without, you know, to give them the legitimate help that they are asking for. And so what brought that on, obviously, was the whole frustration thing of when we do this and we solve this for you as you ask us, and then you do something to bring it back.
Right.
I think you deserve to be charged like $20 an hour. And yeah, that's all evidence, everything.
Yeah, we've had cases like that. You know, we have had a few cases like that. I mean, you know, and a couple of them have been haunted object type of cases, you know, where I legitimately think that this negative entity was attached to an object. And, you know, the person, I told them repeatedly, get rid of the damn object. And then they wouldn't get rid of the object. And then the thing kept showing back up. And I'm like, look, I'm not coming over anymore. You know, did you get rid of the object? Because I'm not coming over if you didn't get rid of the object.
Yeah, you know? But we still didn't charge them. For that.
No, we didn't charge. I just was
we just said like, we're not going to help you anymore because
no,
we
I'm
can't.
Not over anymore. Don't call me.
Sometimes it is necessary for the client to help themselves as much as it is for us to help them.
It's always important for the client to help themselves.
Well, okay, fine. It's always important.
Always important.
All right. Well, I think we answered that question. That went a little bit longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Go me.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Good question, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. So this one kind of ties into things that you and I have been talking about lately, and then also things that you see on TV, and we talked about this at Paracon and stuff. So I get this question, you know. I heard a noise in my house, or I saw something like a black shadow out of the corner of my eye. Is there a demonic entity in my house? So The reason I say this question is, and it's not funny, and Mike, quit laughing. It's not funny, but it's because of, and here we go again, going right back to Hollywood, but it's because of like the things on TV and the movies that are out there and the, you know, that play on your fears of the paranormal and ghosts and demons and stuff. Every single time, it's always like the days of Casper the Friendly Ghost are over.
Yes.
It's always a demonic entity that wants to just destroy your soul and drag you to hell.
That sells.
And so because that's so popular in our society right now, every time somebody sees something, it seems like they immediately think the worst thing's happening to them. You know, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. It was like a black, it kind of looked like it was black, you know, and black means negative and negative means demonic. And so there's a demon walking through my kitchen. I saw it. And then, you know, this little thing out of the corner of your eye, by the time they get done telling me about it, it's a whole manifestation of, you know, Lucifer himself, you know, with the kitchen utensils are swirling around his head and, you know, the refrigerator's upside down banging and, you know, it gets a little out of control. So I'm going to tell you, 99.9999999999 times. It's not you heard a noise in your house or you saw a shadow out of the corner of your eye. It's not a demonic entity.
No.
Demonic entities have a specific purpose. And unless there's a reason for them to be at your house, they're not at your house.
And shockingly, I could never prove whether this is for all of them or whatever. But if you watch a lot of the shows that it actually turns out to be like a really powerful negative entity or whatever, they almost have like the same playbook. Like they almost do the exact same things over and over and over again at all of these different houses. And so, I mean, a lot of times when people start telling me the claims, I'm looking for this and I'm like, did this happen? Did this happen? And a lot of times, no, it doesn't. And they're still like, well, do you think it's demonic? No, I don't think it's demonic because it's not doing anything. You're freaking yourself out more than anything.
Yes.
Because you think it is. And so I think people just need to calm down and be more logical as opposed to more emotional.
Yes.
Because not only one, if it is just a negative entity, if it's just an old homeowner that wants you gone and is willing to, you know, throw a glass at you to try to scare you out, you know, the best thing that you can do is maintain calm and go about your life. because as long as you don't feed it, it's got nothing to do.
Right. Right. And one of the claims for demonic entities is not throwing a glass at you.
No.
So if you do happen to be listening and later tonight a glass gets thrown at you, it's not a demonic entity.
No, but you can still call us and we'll still come.
Yeah, you can still call us. I'm just saying
we won't charge you for an investigation.
No, we won't. It's a very specific type of pattern that you're looking for demonic entities. And demons always are looking for the same thing, which is the possession of your soul. They're always looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
So how the path that they get to break you down, to make you weak, to get you to an oppression state, eventually moving that forward to try to get you to a possession state, it seems like it's a very scripted type of playbook, like Mike said. So.
Yeah. All right. So this is a very common one. Based on the fact that I don't particularly like when people ask me this question, because it means they're trying to get into the field, but what pieces of equipment are best for people who are just starting out? I always get asked that question.
Yep.
Before I answer it, I would like to say that the first thing that I want everybody to do if they want to get into this field is find somebody to train them. Do not just start going out and investigating by yourself. Don't grab your best friend. Don't grab your girlfriend or boyfriend and be like, I want to go to this cemetery tonight, and start asking questions. It's dangerous because you don't know the rules. Like I would, the best thing to do before you even start buying equipment. And I have gotten this question recently. I got an email from a guy who, I think he wanted to know locations because he had just started buying equipment. And I'm like, the first thing I want you to do is not buy equipment. I'm like, I want you to either get with a team. I want you to get trained. Then right. You can buy equipment.
Right.
So with that said, I think that the standard answer is obviously a recorder and a flashlight. I mean, that's pretty much really all you need. And if you want to take down notes, a pad and paper.
And I would say in a digital camera or your phone.
Yes.
So in case you think you hear something or whatever, it's always good to snap a few photos in that direction, because every once in a while you actually do catch something.
Right. And if you want to throw in an extra $60-$70,
a K2.
This the K2 is by far probably the cheapest piece of equipment that you can buy that can be used for the paranormal, besides like just maybe like a $20 EMF detector.
Right. It's also one of the best pieces, though, in my opinion.
It is. Because you can
use it for communication. You can use it to when something sense something that's in the room. And we do all the time. We do it. We do a sweep of the house to see if there's any hotspots. I mean, so it's a great multi-purpose tool for $70.
Right. I even had a case recently where I was using the K2 and found down in the basement, they had a light switch that was pegged it to red. I mean, and then we put the millimeter next to it, and it's, you know, 60s and 70s and whatnot. I mean, they had unshielded wiring or bad wiring.
Right.
I mean, so even though we're out there trying to gather evidence of something going on in this house, we're also there to debunk stuff and to find if anything is wrong. I mean, because high EMF like that has its own paranormal things going on that are natural. But I mean, who's to say that maybe they flipped the light switch one night, it shorts out because it was poorly done and
burns the house down.
It burns the house down.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, ha, I saved these people. But I mean, I definitely pointed it out to them. And I don't know if they took care of it or not, but you know, it's definitely something that a K2 can be used for if you want to actually investigate. And I really, really hope that you are not buying equipment and you are not trying to get into it so you can investigate your own home.
No.
No. No.
If you're going to take that route, don't call us.
Definitely.
Because God knows what you're inviting in. You're going to be one of those 10%ers, and I'm not really interested in getting scratched or bitten or, you know.
Yep. All right. So we have 5 minutes left. We can do one more question, or we can just...
Nope. Why don't we talk about the big event coming up?
Okay. So this week, it is on my schedule to finish day two of the Edinburgh Manor event. That is the event you're talking about, right?
Yep.
Okay, just making sure I didn't like completely space on what you were talking about.
No.
The Edinburgh Manor event that we did earlier this year. It's taken me a very, very long time to finish day two, only because I got way, way busy. Once I post that, just in time for Christmas, I'm going to release the tickets for next year's event, which is May 25th and 26th at Edinburgh Manor Insane Asylum down in Monticello, Iowa. 2-day event, going to be VIP tickets and regular tickets. VIP obviously gets Friday night, all of Saturday and Saturday night. They are limited, just 10 VIP tickets, $150 each. And it's really, really good time. You're going to be able to investigate with us. You can use all of our equipment. That's all available to you. And it's a really large building. Last year, even though it was cold, it was low 40s and raining, it was cold, and everybody had still a really good time. So if you're in the mood to buy somebody a really nice Christmas gift, the tickets will be available hopefully within the next week. I will have postings about that on my Facebook page, Odyssey Paranormal Society, if you haven't liked it yet. What I am going to do, if anybody is listening that has already been to one of our events, whether it was Edinburgh Manor earlier this year or Farrar Schoolhouse earlier this year, I'm going to give you guys the ability to have a pre-sale. So you will have first dibs at tickets for anybody that is interested for that. As a way of saying thank you for obviously your patronage over this year.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think so either. I know a lot of people really want to go.
The place has a great history, and it has a lot of activity. So it is a legitimately haunted facility. I will tell you that. I don't call a lot of places haunted. I will tell you this place is a legitimately haunted facility.
It is. If you wanted to go to my website, odysseyparanormalsociety.com, I do have day one. That's already up, and I think it's like 15 EVPs just from day one. I'm currently working on day two. Day two is a lot harder because there's a lot more people.
Yeah.
But tickets are limited. And VIP, in my opinion, is well worth it. It's just going to be us and 10 VIP, and you have the entire place to yourself until Saturday night. So you have like 24 hours of having this place to yourself.
And we're going to be there.
Well, we're going to be there, sure.
I mean, God, that's $150. The value is right there. If it was just you and I standing in a gravel parking lot, it would be worth $150.
I think
now we're going to a haunted location.
I think you're stretching on that one, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. I don't think we could get $20 a ticket if we were standing in a gravel lot and said, "Here, why don't you come talk to us?"
I don't know. Maybe I got some good stories. I bet I could get $20
from friends and family, probably.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 10. Anyway.
Maybe 10. All right. Well, we're coming down. Maybe 5.
No. 10 is my minimum. No, I got to have some respect for myself. $10 is my minimum.
Gotcha. All right. So that's going to do it for tonight. For us, next week, we're going to have a wonderful guest talking about the Victorian spiritualism, a little bit of Christmas. hopefully add an end to that. She's been on before. She's a really good guest. She's really interesting. Yep. And then we will have more information about 2 weeks from now. Well, 2 weeks from now, so a week from the next one. That is going to be an absolute first for a Para X show. I know everybody is absolutely going to love it. So stay tuned for that. So for Dave and myself, everybody, have yourselves a good night.